from the top.
Welcome to the Herd Podcast, brought to you by Elephant Run District, an independent theater company in New York City. Our play, recorded May 1st, 2016, is Sex and Charitable Giving by Lisa Huberman. Lisa is a playwright who, fun fact, was raised by vegans in Ohio. This is an unabridged presentation of an original work by Lisa Huberman and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or otherwise presented without the playwright's permission. We hope you enjoy this podcast, and if you feel inspired to donate to our company and the spirit of independent theater that we represent, please go to our website, elephantrundistrict.org, and click on the donate button. On our website, you can find links to all the fun stuff we're doing. Check them out. This play features Kristen Cantwell, Imran Sheik, Jacqueline Collier, Patrice Bell, with stage directions read by Lisa Huberman and directed by Amy Todoroff. And now, please enjoy Sex and Charitable Giving by Lisa Huberman.
Scene one, Natasha and Marcy's apartment in Astoria. Tasteful, lovably cluttered. It is a modest place, but they have cheaply made it their own. The apartment is uniquely cleaned for a fancy dinner. Natasha and Unkit ravenously consume a vegetarian entree over candlelight.
Oh, this is sinful.
You've said that 1,000 times.
You're sure this is vegan? Completely vegan.
And I've answered you 1,000 times.
In 15 years as a vegetarian, I never had anything so carnivorous. This isn't just vegetarian good. This is southern fried barbecue good. This is Paula Deen good. You have to give me this recipe.
Family secret. My mother would cut me off.
Deny thy mother and refuse thy name.
She kisses him.
I can't give you the recipe.
Then I can't put in a good word for you with Vanessa.
What do you know?
Something about a conference.
What conference? Is she planning on sending bread?
Sworn to secrecy. You understand.
Hey, I got you the job.
Excuse me.
If it wasn't for me, you'd still be standing on Lexington Avenue asking rich people to sponsor children.
I was fighting child poverty. Now what? Sold my soul to the 1%.
I know it's been very difficult for you.
If this is the kind of office culture you insist on creating, then maybe I should go back to something more fulfilling.
It appears we are at an impasse.
Indeed.
Then I guess I can return this and...
He takes out a box.
You didn't.
I know we said we weren't going to do gifts.
That's why I didn't get you anything.
Really?
Really.
I thought that was just something girls say.
It's a 3-month anniversary, not a diamond jubilee.
Yeah, but I thought, what about that receipt on your desk from Express for Men?
Vanessa made me go shopping for her son. He's kind of challenged when it comes to dorm washing machines.
Oh.
So what is it?
You know what? Don't worry about it. It was a stupid idea.
It's a book, isn't it?
It's not a book.
I almost blocked your number after our first date when you bought me The 5 People You Meet in Heaven.
Yeah, lesson learned.
So what?
It's not important. I obviously misread the situation and had a very different idea than you about how this evening was going to play out. So we can just...
Natasha grabs the box from him and opens it.
I know it's a big step. Maybe I was reaching. We haven't been together that long, but it seemed like you wanted. So I took a leap. If it doesn't fit, we can always resize it.
Natasha takes the item out of the box. It is a leather bondage collar. And a pair of handcuffs.
I left the name tag blank. I didn't know if you wanted to use your name or like some kind of pseudonym like bitch slut or...
What the fuck?
It's really up to you.
What the fuck would make you think...
I should have gotten the faux leather.
This was supposed to be a simple, romantic dinner to celebrate our anniversary, and you turn it into...
You don't like it.
This is sick. Disgusting and sick. I thought you were normal. You have a real job. You're Indian, for Christ's sakes.
You do know where the Kama Sutra comes from, right?
We were having a nice, normal evening, and then you had to...
I'm sorry. We'll rewind. Forget it happened.
Forget that my boyfriend got me handcuffs and a dog collar? Forget that I'm apparently dating a pervert?
Hey!
Where would you get the idea that I would want...
From your search history.
What?
Well, a few weeks ago, I left my computer at the office, so I went to check my email on your laptop. I accidentally clicked the history button, but before I clicked back, I saw this site called The Dog Pound.
Oh, God.
I thought you were considering adopting from a shelter, so I clicked on a link that said, Suzanne's Puppy Training. That's some messed up shit.
And it never occurred to you that this might possibly be an invasion of privacy?
There's one where the girl is licking the guy's boots while getting fucked by a lemur.
This was private. This was none of your business. You could have just forgotten about it.
I tried to, but every time we would kiss, I would wonder if you were trying to tell me something. That there was something you wanted that I wasn't giving you. So I took a chance. I knew it was a risk, but I thought maybe you wanted like a 50 Shades of Grey kind of guy.
If I wanted that kind of guy, I would be with that kind of guy.
You were looking at it right after I left here last week.
This is so embarrassing.
It isn't, though.
He tries to embrace her.
Please get out.
Come on.
I can't have you spending the night here tonight. Go back to Jersey City.
Well, I hate the path on the weekends.
I don't care.
I was just trying.
See you at work.
He exits. Scene 2. 2 days later. You promised.
When did I ever promise that?
When you quit. You said as soon as you got another job, you'd sign to sponsor a child with me.
And you said you'd have your half of the rent this month.
Well, it would be a lot easier if I thought I had some kind of job security.
Being a child sponsor is a huge financial commitment. I'm not even past the trial period at this job.
And this is my fifth time on Action Plan. You could do it for, like, a month and cancel.
I'm pretty sure that's the opposite of what you're supposed to tell people.
Or you could do it with Unkit, sponsoring a kid together. That's romantic, right?
You're pathetic.
It's such a beautiful experience. Oh, listen to this letter Shabanu sent me.
Is that your kid from Senegal?
No, that's Marielle. Shabanu is my little girl from Pakistan.
Oh.
Just listen to this letter. Dear Marcy, she spells it with 3 E's.
Adorable.
How you be? I'm good. I write for thanks for your letter last month. Sorry boyfriend was a goat dung face.
You told a 6-year-old in Pakistan about your breakup?
It's important to know the reality of life in America. Anyway, Mama says, no worry, you will catch fish in sea. So I draw you net to help you catch. Look at this drawing. It's her next to her head. Isn't that adorable?
You're using your sponsored child for relationship advice.
That girl is deep.
Yeah.
How many kids are you sponsoring now?
3.
And you're affording this how?
What we spend on coffee each day, we could feed one of their families for a week.
You don't spend anything on coffee. You go to Trader Joe's 3 times a day to get free samples. Do you ever think before you make these kinds of financial commitments?
Well, sorry we don't all plan out every decision of our lives using an Excel spreadsheet. Oh, shit. I left my laptop at the office. It's been acting weird. Do you think Unkit could take a look at it?
Why do you always assume he could do something about it?
Not
all Indian guys are computer geniuses.
Did you just call me racist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where is he anyway?
He's not coming.
What did you do?
What did I do?
What was it this time?
You assumed this was somehow my fault.
The last guy you dumped because he smoked.
Perfectly reasonable deal breaker.
The guy before that you dumped because he lived in Long Island.
I'm poor. The Long Island Railroad adds up.
Okay, then... Then there was the actor who you dumped because, quote, he was too pretty.
I thought he might be gay.
And Kristoff, the writer? The one who used to read at that cafe in the East Village?
He was bipolar.
So was Van Gogh.
You're saying I'm picky?
I'm saying you found a guy who doesn't smoke, who has a job, who is a vegetarian, and who worships you, and you're ready to just give up on it before it even starts.
I should just be like you then? Pick up random guys on the street while canvassing and take them to meet my parents after like 30 seconds?
At least I have relationships. I let myself feel something. I commit to things.
You spend $90 a month sponsoring children while living on food stamps. You need to drop one of them.
They need me. I'm committed to them.
You want to know what he did?
I don't need to, because it's always the same story with you.
But
I have some letters to write.
Marcy exits. Scene 3. A couple of days later. The apartment is dark. A knock at the door.
Are you there?
It's open.
Unkit enters the room. He looks around.
Coming.
Unkit hears the ringing of chains.
What the fuck?
Natasha enters, arms handcuffed behind her back, a file in her mouth. She is wearing the collar around her neck. Natasha approaches him and lays the file at his feet.
I meant to bring it to work tomorrow morning, but you have that meeting tomorrow and I thought you'd want to prepare.
Thanks. Thanks.
Is there anything else you...
Natasha stumbles.
Shit.
Let me help you.
I'm fine.
You're not.
It wasn't supposed to be like this. It was supposed to be sexy. Spontaneous.
How did you handcuff yourself behind your back?
I'm quite dexterous.
Where's the key?
I'm not sure. I didn't see where I dropped it. Somewhere in the bedroom?
Unkit exits.
What are you doing?
I'm looking for the key.
Come back.
This is getting ridiculous.
Why are you being so weird about this?
I'm being weird about this? I'm being weird about this? You don't think it's a little bit odd to walk in and have your girlfriend handcuffed and wearing a leash? It's kind of a shock.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
What were you thinking?
That you might be pleased?
I'm confused!
He re-enters with a tiny key and comes in behind her.
Got it.
Wait, please. I know this is weird. I didn't mean to spring this on you, but I thought about what you said. And you're right. I was being kind of a hypocrite about this. You were trying to do something nice for me, and I treated you like shit.
I invaded your privacy. I realized that was wrong, insensitive.
But I wasn't being open with you. I was keeping a whole portion of my life from you, and the truth is I've never actually done this. In real life.
You haven't?
I was always afraid of a guy thinking I was some crazy nympho, or that I'm a total hypocrite as a feminist for wanting a guy to tie me up, and then he thinks he gets licensed to act like a sexist jerk. But however messed up this stuff is, it's still a part of me that maybe I should explore. And you seem like the kind of guy I could trust not to be an asshole about it.
You sure this is what you...
Yes!
I wish I hadn't even given it to you. I'm an idiot.
It's normal. I shouldn't be ashamed of it.
You really want to do this?
Yeah.
And you'll tell me if you get uncomfortable.
I'm a big girl.
I don't want to feel like I'm hurting you.
I trust you.
You do.
If you want, we can make a safe word.
A what?
Like... If either of us is feeling weird or uncomfortable, we'll just say tofu.
And that stops it?
Yes. Come on. You don't find this the least bit, you know.
She slides up and kisses him.
A little. What's so funny?
It tickles.
That's all right.
It's fine. Keep going.
Okay. You're killing the mood.
Shit, I'm sorry.
I feel like you're laughing at me.
I'm not.
Well, that's what it feels like.
You could gag me.
What?
Grab like a sock or something.
Ew.
I need a clean one.
That's not necessary.
Okay.
He starts kissing and stroking her again. He notices there is now a chain attached to the collar. He starts to finger it.
Where did you get this?
PetSmart. It was cheaper than the one that came with the collar.
It's nice.
Thanks.
He tugs at it gently.
Strong.
It's the kind they use for Dobermans.
I see.
Unkit gets an idea.
Heel, girl.
Natasha sits herself up and kneels, panting.
What are you doing?
Healing?
That's not what healing is.
Oh.
Didn't you ever have a dog?
My parents were cat people. Uh-huh. So what's healing?
Well, you sort of put your head level with my left hand and I lead you.
I don't get it.
Here, let me.
He tugs on the leash and brings her to him.
Now what?
Look up at me. Good girl.
He scratches her head. She licks his hand.
Okay. Now let's walk.
He starts walking. Her head drops and she moves in front of him. He tugs at the leash.
What am I doing wrong?
You're supposed to keep looking at me.
Oh.
He pulls her back.
Now, walk.
They start walking again. She manages to stay close, but her head drops again. Without thinking, he slaps her head lightly.
Bad girl.
Hey.
Sorry.
I'm trying here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying really hard.
Yeah, it took a while for Moti to get it too.
Is that your dog?
Yeah.
So, how did you train her?
Well, it's been a while. We made her sit on a book.
That might be a bit small.
Right.
He thinks for a minute and starts to exit. He stops and turns around.
Stay.
He exits. Natasha sighs and shifts uncomfortably. She gets an itch on her nose. We see her nose wrinkle, to no avail.
Damn it.
She bends her head down and nuzzles her head into her shoulder. No avail. She looks around and notices a rug on the ground. She walks over to it, bends down, and starts rubbing her nose into the ground. Unket enters carrying a kitchen mat.
What are you doing?
My nose itches. You think this is funny?
He goes over to her and scratches her nose.
Thank you. Is that the kitchen mat?
You can stand on this.
He lays the mat down in the middle of the room. She gets on it.
What now?
He takes out a piece of chocolate out of his pocket.
Okay, so here's a piece of chocolate. Follow it as I move. Stay on the rug.
Okay.
He holds out the piece of chocolate. He lifts it up and down. She follows it. He then moves his hand in a circular motion. Natasha follows it, turning around in a circle, as if she is chasing her tail. She eventually loses her balance and gets dizzy. Unket catches her.
You okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try this again. Heel! Good. Now stay at my side. Good girl.
Am I a good girl?
Such a good girl.
Do I get a treat?
Unket takes the treat out and holds it up.
Beg.
Natasha rises on her knees, mouth open, panting. He tosses it in her mouth. She eats it gratefully.
Oh, you're such a good girl.
How good of a girl am I? Do I get another treat?
Down, girl.
She leans forward, chest on the ground. He starts petting her on her back, sensually. When he gets to her stomach, she falls to her side.
What did I say about laughing?
Sorry.
You can't be obedient.
He grabs a scarf and ties it around her mouth.
I might just have to teach you a lesson.
He pulls down her underwear, spreads her legs, and starts rubbing her buttocks. He unbuttons his pants and starts penetrating her.
Oh, you're such a good girl. Good girl.
He is so caught up that he doesn't notice someone knocking on the door. Natasha, however, does notice and starts attempting to speak through the gag. She jerks her body up, knocking him back.
What did I...
Natasha jerks her head toward the door.
Tasha, are you home? I forgot my keys.
Shit!
Who's with you?
Doesn't she work on Saturdays?
Is that a guy?
Tell her to go away. Right.
Unket removes the gag.
Hey, hon! It's kind of a bad... Could you come back in a few? Yeah,
sorry to interrupt your rebound sex, but I've had a really long fucking day and I just need to talk.
Okay, fine. Just give me a minute.
Right.
He searches around the apartment. The couch cushions, the rug, under books.
Where did you set it?
I don't remember.
Shit, do something.
Unket throws a blanket over Natasha, covering her head.
Hey!
Sorry.
He lifts the blanket just below her chin. Unket gets the door. Marcy enters, teary-eyed.
You would not believe the day I had. Unket, why are you here? Where's Natasha?
She's...
Oh my god, you sick?
Yeah.
Oh, you poor.
She goes to hug her.
Don't.
She's contagious.
Oh, right. I think I have some emergency in the kitchen.
Marcy exits.
You still haven't found the key?
I'm trying.
Marcy re-enters with the emergency.
Here you go.
Just set it on the coffee table.
Okay. You can go now. The best friend is here.
But I want to stay and hear about your day.
You don't want to hear about stupid canvasser shit.
I totally do.
Really?
He totally does.
I'm sorry I suggested Tasha was sleeping with someone else. She was pretty pissed at you.
I am aware.
For the record, I was totally on your side.
Thanks.
Hey, you think you could look at my computer?
I'm not really...
Please?
Bring it by the office tomorrow.
Oh, you're They're amazing.
So tell us about your day.
So my day starts out awesome, right? Kind of a slow morning. Before lunch, I stop this awesome woman. And when I start talking about women's rights, she's all, I have a daughter. I think the work you're doing is amazing. Thank you so much for being out here. Well, she says she can't afford to sponsor a kid because she already does, but she makes a pretty good contribution. I mean, I take what I can get, right? So then later in the day, I thought I totally scored when I ran into this other woman who immediately started talking about how she was on her way to pick up her daughter. What's this?
Thank God.
Marcy has found the key. Unkit grabs it from her.
Mother of God!
Are you okay?
Natasha gets up and starts to exit, blanket wrapped around her.
Where are you going?
I've got to go.
You're going to puke.
Unkit puts his arms around Natasha as if to help and discreetly slips her the key. She staggers off.
I should go hold her hair.
She'll be fine. You ran into some woman who had a kid.
Yeah. So I bet you're totally for women's rights. She's like, yeah. So I start to tell her about all the work we're doing to help educate girls and prevent them from getting married, and I ask her to sponsor a kid. But then things got all weird. She asks me, have you ever been to that part of the world? And I go, not yet. She says, well, I have, and I used to be like you. I used to be idealistic and have hope. But the truth is, these countries don't want to change. The best thing we can do is just bomb them out of their misery. And granted, you know, people have said things to me like that before, shitty things, like daily. But this woman? I just felt so fucking betrayed. I mean, her generation got to be all angry and bitchy and idealistic and protest, but then when things didn't turn out perfect, they just threw up their arms and gave up. Look, and I know our job is just to sign up people who want to give and not argue with people who don't, but I just couldn't let it go. I said, it's your fault we're here. Get out of the way and give us a chance, you stupid, hypocritical bitch. Of course, then a policeman showed up and they reported me, so now I'm totally fucked.
Natasha enters, wearing a loose conglomeration of mismatched clothes.
That's better. What did I miss?
I'm about to be fired.
Shit.
You were right. I'm not cut out for this. I get too invested. Maybe I should go back to work at Trader Joe's. What happened to your wrist?
What? Hair tie. Left it on last night.
Big hair tie.
So, Unkit and I were talking, and I think we will sponsor a kid with you.
We will?
It'll be romantic, given our newfound... Let us know where you'll be tomorrow, and we'll be sure to sign up.
Actually, I think I have some kids with me right now.
Marcy goes into her backpack and pulls out a couple of brochures with kids' pictures on them. She starts going through them.
No.
Does Paul know you take this stuff home?
Everyone does it. Are you saying you never... Oh, here she is! This girl is perfect. This girl is one of my favorites.
She hands the brochure to Natasha. Unkit reads over her shoulder.
Hello, my name is Shishmita. I am a 9-year-old girl from Nepal.
It means smiling.
I live in a wooden hut with my parents. I love going to school and painting and helping my mama make beautiful clothes. How much did you say this was?
$1 a day. You've been making a huge impact. Nepal is one of the world's highest rates for human trafficking.
That's true.
In a minute, you could completely change a child's life. It's also 100% tax deductible.
Well, if it's tax deductible...
Please?
All right.
Really? You have no idea how much this will mean to me. Her.
Right.
It means a lot to me, of course. Totally. I get to keep this job for like another week. I mean, you're under 30, so that's not ideal.
If you're afraid of hurting your quality.
But at this point, I have to take what I can get. Beggars, choosers.
You are no beggar.
You mean that? I don't want you to be doing this because you feel sorry for me. I want you to do this because you want to. I know you always hated it when supervisors gave signups to canvassers on their team who couldn't hack it.
But you can do this. You're just going through a rough time. You'll totally get your mojo back.
You think?
As long as you stop trying to talk people out of your signups.
Right.
I'm serious. Get it together or I'll rip this up now.
I promise.
Marcy takes out her phone and snaps a picture.
I'm so glad you're doing this together.
Scene 4. Some weeks later. Natasha is on the couch with a pad and paper. Unkit types on the other end of the room.
Dear Shushmita. Hi, Shushmita. Dear or hi?
What does it matter?
Dear maybe is too formal. Hi seems friendlier.
Hi then.
But if she's trying to learn English, I should want to model proper English, right? When she applies to Harvard Law School, I don't want her to fail her application because she couldn't address it properly.
So use dear. Don't worry so much. The teachers write letters to the kids anyway.
And how would you know?
Think about it. You really think rich white donors are gonna cough up thousands of dollars for inarticulate chicken scratch?
Never really thought about it.
Yeah, they need letters that are just adorable and heartwarming enough so they can brag to all of their rich friends and about how much they are giving back.
Cynical much?
Naive much? When Vanessa gets a bouquet of flowers at the office, does she write the thank you note?
That's not the same.
She doesn't. You do.
What about Marcy's letters? She has a personal relationship with all of her kids. You're telling me there's some conspiracy to outsource child sponsorship letters, like a call center in India?
Never mind.
You talk a big game for a guy who has no idea what he's talking. I mean, how exactly do you know this?
Because I was sponsored.
Wow.
Do you want a Coke or should we just seamless?
I mean, wow.
Veggie Burger at that new place has great Yelp reviews.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
What?
You never told me.
Told you what?
That you were sponsored.
Why would I?
It's kind of a big deal.
Not really.
When was this?
A while ago.
Were you guys really poor?
Are you asking if I was one of those starving kids on the commercials?
Were you?
I don't know. I was four. It wasn't a big deal, okay? There was a flood. Our village got hit bad. They brought in some organization to help us get back on our feet.
Who is your sponsor?
Some lady from England.
How long did this last?
Like a year or two. My dad got a job in Mumbai, so we left.
I can't believe you never told me.
Why would I?
It's a part of who you are, a really big part of who you are.
Not really.
I was a canvasser. This is the kind of thing I'd be interested in.
Maybe I didn't want you to reduce me to some starving kid on a TV commercial.
That's not true.
But now you're looking at me weird.
I'm not.
I don't talk about it because this is not who I am anymore. I want people to judge me for who I am now rather than the person that I was. You wouldn't understand.
Because I'm a privileged white girl?
This is why I didn't want to talk about this.
So we won't.
She opens a bag and takes out a set of connected handcuffs.
What is it?
It's a hog tie kit.
How does it work?
You tie the person's arms and legs together.
Like a pig.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or we could just play.
She unwraps her scarf to reveal the dog collar underneath. He grabs it from the back and pulls her close.
You know what your problem is? Your problem is you are too fucking neurotic.
I'm sorry, Mowgli.
You come to my jungle. Come to my jungle and start asking questions that are none of your business?
I'm curious.
All curiosity killed the cat.
Did you really just say that?
He slams her to the ground.
Don't talk back to me.
I'm sorry. I mean, would Mowgli say that? I mean, the Jungle Book was written in like 1893.
She attempts to get up and he holds her down.
Do you want me to feed you to Shere Khan?
No.
Because if you continue to speak, he's going to know you're here and approach our camp again.
Ankit goes back to his work. Natasha lies there, attempting to be still, but we can see she is getting bored. Ankit sneezes.
Bless you.
What did I say about speaking?
I was trying to save Mowgli's soul.
Did Master ask his slave to save his soul?
No.
That's why you really came to my jungle, isn't it? Try to convert the savage to your so-called civilization?
Slave isn't allowed to think of Mowgli's welfare? Lessen master's suffering?
Maybe Mowgli just wants to be left alone. Maybe there are things that are none of Slave's business to see.
He goes into a drawer and takes out a blindfold and puts it on her.
If you can't keep from looking where you don't belong.
He pulls out the leash and hooks it onto the collar. He ties her arms to the sides of the coffee table and spreads her legs. He goes underneath her top and gropes her breasts.
You want to come to the jungle? Live like the animals?
He puts on the song, Bare Necessities.
When I'm done with you, I'll let Baloo have a go. Would you like that?
Yes.
Do you know how sick that is? Do you know how sick it is for a woman living in the lap of luxury, living in a colonial palace, to come here and fuck animals? Oh, you must really hate yourself. When Baloo and I are down, I'll call King Louie over. Maybe he'll make you his monkey queen. Oh, he'll put bananas in places you've never.
The ring of a cell phone.
Tofu.
What's the matter? Did I do something wrong?
I think it's Vanessa.
Oh, okay, sure.
He unties her.
This was fun, though.
You think? I felt like I might have gone a bit...
We'll work on it.
It got kind of corny.
A little.
We'll do some research.
Okay.
We'll plan it out better.
Yeah.
Maybe some new props.
Sure.
Scene 5. Unkit is working on his laptop and eating. Marcy enters with a towel on her head.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean...
When did you get in?
About 20 minutes ago.
Is Natasha...
She gave me a key. Our boss dragged her to some kind of corporate fundraising thing.
Gotcha. Is that naan?
Yeah, it's dosa.
What's dosa?
A different kind of flatbread. Made with rice and bean instead of flour.
Can I try it?
Sure.
Oh, this is so good. Did your mom make it?
Yes.
You're so lucky. My mom can barely reheat takeout. It's funny, because every time I tell people my roommate's boyfriend is Indian, they're like, do you eat naan, like, all the time? And I just realize I don't really know.
Naan takes a long time to make. Dosa is simpler.
Got it. What you working on?
Client's portfolio.
Oh, what medium?
Huh?
Oil, watercolor, sculpture?
It's an investment portfolio.
Oh.
This client has $3 million tied up in this foundation and is looking to diversify.
$3 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Not really.
It's a lot for me.
Yeah, but for these guys.
Martin Salzberger? Wait, I think I stopped him.
When?
Like 6 months ago. Oh, right. Oh, my God. He was such a dick. He said, where's your Che Guevara t-shirt? Is he your best friend? Is he your hero? God, I can't believe you guys have to work with rich fucks like that.
They pay the rent on this apartment.
Hey, could you do me a favor?
Sure.
I'm trying to work on my ask and rebuttal.
Your what?
It'll take like 2 seconds.
Okay.
He closes his laptop.
Okay, so you stand there.
All right.
So I'm just going to skip to the end of my pitch and go right into the ask.
Are you okay?
I'm preparing. And in only 2 years, we were able to reduce child marriage in Mariel's village by 54%. Isn't that amazing? I said, isn't that amazing?
What is?
Just say yes.
To what?
I just told you something inspiring.
Yes!
But we can't do it alone. That's where people like you come in. In order to have the money to educate, inspire, and empower, we need sustainable, regular support. That's why today I'm asking for a small donation of $30 a month. Just a dollar a day. You can make part of her dreams a reality. Sound good? Great! Let's get you signed up.
You didn't let me answer.
It's rhetorical.
So you don't even really care if I want to give you money?
Well, it's a good cause.
How do I even know you work for the organization?
Well, I have this badge.
You could have printed it off the internet.
Well, if you have any issues, if you have any concerns, you can call this number and give them my name.
After you've already stolen my identity.
I'm not going to. I wouldn't know how.
If you were really legitimate, you'd just let me go on your website. That's what you would do if you were really legitimate. Oh, shit. I'm sorry. I didn't mean... I was just trying to, be that guy. Give a sense of what that kind of guy...
I get it.
I thought that's what you... You didn't exactly say what
you're right. I didn't. It's my fault.
Marcy takes some more of his food.
Can I have some more of this,
dosa?
Thanks.
Marcy exits. Scene 6. Unkit, Natasha, and Marcy at dinner.
And then the guy says, you know what would really help those kids?
Jesus?
Stop ruining my punchline.
It was just a guess.
I was trying to make it funny.
It was.
You obviously didn't think so.
Yeah, I did.
The point is, people in New York are assholes.
Hear, hear.
They click glasses.
It used to get so bad, I had these things I would do.
after someone said something really shitty to me, and it was always first thing in the morning.
You know this doesn't work.
You're just annoying people.
If you really cared, you'd be volunteering.
The kind of things that kind of make you want to die and hate everyone, but then the next time I'd see someone with a dog, I'd say, excuse me, can I please pet your dog? I need some unconditional love right now.
And then did you use that to lure them in?
Only if they seemed like they might be into it. Honestly, it was more important to feel like a human being for a few minutes.
Yeah, I totally use that.
Feel free.
You're like a legend.
Hardly.
Paul keeps asking me when you're coming back.
I tell him a few weeks after, never.
What is this thing between you and Paul? Did you two date or something?
He wishes.
The office is doing really well. We're probably going to add another campaign soon.
Animals.
Think about it. Animals.
I'm not interested.
Can you honestly say being an office drone is more thrilling than fighting child poverty?
I can honestly say it's better for my immune system that I'm not working outside 8 hours a day in the rain.
That's what umbrellas are for.
What do you want me to say? It was fun, but I reached my limit.
You could have gone really far. You could be running your own office by now.
I think it's better that I left on good terms.
Remember what you used to tell people? The perfect is the enemy of the good.
Could you please drop it?
You had so much potential.
And now you're carrying on my legacy.
It would be fun.
You only want me to come back as a supervisor to make sure you get to go to the good sites.
That is so not true.
Hey, we were wondering, it's been a while since we've heard from Shushmita.
Like how long?
A month. Is that normal?
Have you called?
No one is giving me any good information.
Weird.
I know, right?
I'll see what I can find out.
Do you ever not hear from your kids for a while?
Sometimes they forget, or there's some kind of religious holiday. I doubt it's any big deal.
They're still charging my credit card.
I never realized how much I would enjoy it.
Right? What did I tell you?
For once, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Marcy takes a bow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You done?
Almost.
She bows a couple of more times.
So did you still need me to look over your application?
What application?
College. Aren't you still planning on transferring?
I don't know.
It's my job to ask you this.
And I appreciate it.
So?
I'm doing pretty well at the office. Paul thought I could become a supervisor.
Unbelievable.
Why do you go to college? To get a job? Well, I have a job that pays me well. Why did I need to go into debt to do that?
You had one good month. What about the next time you call me crying from a Starbucks because some old guy called you a communist?
So, Marcy, what neighborhood do you think you're going to move to?
What do you mean?
Shit.
Do you think you want to stay in Astoria? I've got some friends over by Dittmar's who have an extra room.
What is he talking about?
This shit.
I was planning on telling
you. You're kicking me out?
Our lease is up in August. That's 2 whole months.
What did I do?
Nothing. Unkit and I have been spending a lot of time together, and his commute from Jersey City just doesn't make sense anymore.
But
you've always had a hard time paying the rent for this place. Maybe something else, something cheaper, might be less stressful.
So why don't you just move into Natasha's room?
Well,
we could all save on rent.
It's a pretty small place already.
Was it the dishes? I know I never scrub them as much as you like. I can try harder.
It's not about the dishes.
It's because he's a vegetarian, isn't it? I asked if you were okay with me making bacon.
This has nothing to do with dishes or bacon.
Then what is it?
I thought you told her.
I was getting to it. Hun, I want you to listen to me. This isn't personal.
You don't like me anymore. That's personal.
When did I ever say
that? Or if it's just that I'm here, you don't feel like you can have sex?
That is not. I don't even know what
to do. You don't have to feel weird about it. I can handle it.
I know.
Paul and I had sex here last Tuesday while you two were on that conference call thing.
What?
Of all the sex you want.
I appreciate that.
Great. So there's no reason for anyone to feel
like... I just feel like we're moving in different directions. Last year we were working together, we had the same goals. Now we barely see each other.
And then we're not gonna see each other at all.
That's not true.
We'll have brunch.
Scene 7. Natasha is tied to a table leg. Marcy enters.
Oh my god.
Marcy.
Are you okay? What happened? Should I call the police? I should call SVU. What's the number for SVU?
I'm fine.
Is there someone here? I know I can take him. I knew that Groupon for self-defense class would come in handy.
Andy.
Marcy.
Who did this to you? Did you get a good look at
Marcy,
him?
Marcy.
Do you hear about this kind of weird shit happening? You never think
Marcy!
Of... What?
Grab me the key on my nightstand.
What?
It might have fallen on the floor.
You did this?
I thought you were Unkit.
This is... You guys are into...
Don't give me that look. People do this.
Weird people.
I can't believe you're being so judgmental, of all people.
What do you mean?
Like, you're such a Puritan?
You think I'm a slut?
That's not what I said.
What about everything you used to tell me about self-respect and stuff?
I'm not perfect, okay? I'm sorry. Sometimes people have needs. Weird needs. You're the one who told me to take a chance.
But I thought it was something normal.
I'm not going to apologize to you.
I don't think I'll ever be able to unsee this.
Could you at least grab me the key so you won't have to look at this any longer?
Okay.
Marcy exits and returns with the key. She stares at Natasha for a minute.
Are you going to unlock them or what?
Oh, right. Totally.
She unlocks Natasha.
Let me put something on.
Natasha exits and returns in a robe.
How was work today? I thought you had a supervisor meeting tonight.
It got canceled till tomorrow.
I see.
Office drama.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Your first meeting, I know you were excited.
I'll get over it.
Well, since you haven't gotten any shitty pizza yet this evening, why don't we make our own? I think I still have some dough.
Isn't Unkit coming over?
I'll cancel.
But won't he be... disappointed.
He'll get over it.
I don't want to get in the way.
Tonight will be all about girl power.
That's a funny thing for you to be saying.
What do you mean?
The whole... I mean, when I walked in here...
It's not a big deal.
Did Unkit make you do it? I always thought he was a creep.
It wasn't his idea.
You mean... You've been doing this? Into this?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I had never done it before.
But you were interested in it.
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Why would you be interested in porn?
What does it matter?
Well, isn't it kind of anti-feminist?
What do you mean?
Why would you want to fantasize about some guy oppressing you?
It's hard to explain.
Couldn't you at least fantasize about kicking his ass?
If it was politically correct, it wouldn't be porn.
I guess.
It's not weird.
If it wasn't weird, you would have told me. Why didn't you tell me?
Do I have to tell you everything?
I tell you everything.
You don't have to.
It's what best friends do.
Right.
We are best friends, right?
I never said...
Ever since you quit, things have been weird. It's like you've become a different person.
That job was never who I was.
And this is?
This is just something I'm doing.
So your actions have nothing to do with who you are? Working with us was just something to do?
I needed to make money. It's what most people do. Nobody lasts more than a few months.
But you recruited me.
It's not the army.
I quit my job.
Trader Joe's wasn't exactly a sterling career.
And now that you've quit, you want me to quit too. I should just find a guy to get me an office job now.
I'm trying to figure some stuff out right now, okay? It was a job I did for a while. It was fun. It was exhilarating. But it just wasn't me. I don't know if this is me either. People are complicated. They're more than just one action or one belief. We're fucked up and trying to figure stuff out. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. Maybe I was afraid. Maybe I was ashamed. But it's my right to keep something private, isn't it? Don't I have a right to some privacy? You are a child, Marcy. Not everyone is perfect. Not me, not Unkit, not Paul. We're all just trying to get by, get along. Sometimes people do things. Feel things that don't jive with the picture of themselves that they'd like. But what do you want me to do? Stop doing this because it makes you uncomfortable?
Yeah!
I can't do that. I can't live my life as your hero. I am a grown-up. It's grown-up stuff. Dealing with grown-up problems. That's why I don't want to live with you anymore.
You act like you're better than me. Because you have a nerdy boyfriend and a fancy job indoors. You were just using me and now you're done with me.
You know why you never made supervisor before? You care too much. You get too wrapped up in it. That's why your yes rate was always so low. You never got that the whole thing is a game. You never knew when to play it cool. You lost all of your donors because they could smell from a mile away that you are just too hungry and desperate. That's the truth.
Fine. This 2-year friendship is over. I'll stay with Paul tonight.
You don't have to. I didn't mean...
By the way, I found out what happened to Shishmita.
You did?
I'm forwarding you the email.
Marcy takes out her phone, sends the email, and storms out. Natasha sighs and gets at her computer. She pulls up the email and is shocked by what she reads. Scene 8. Later that day, Unkit comes in and Natasha is on the phone.
That's not good enough. You need to try harder.
Hey.
You guys are supposed to be doing everything you can to... I understand. I'm sorry. If you find out anything, thank you.
She hangs up.
What was that about?
Nothing. What took you so long?
Brad made me go to happy hour.
You need to lie down?
I stayed pretty hydrated.
Good.
But I managed to score.
He pulls out a laptop.
How many more times do you think Brad will keep fixing Marcy's computer for you?
I told him I'd set him up with her. What's with the rope? I thought we had a plan to, you know.
He gets in behind her and puts his hand up her shirt, rubbing her breasts.
Not now.
You need some more persuasion?
He starts pulling her hair.
I'm serious. Tofu!
He immediately stops.
Really?
I said I wasn't into it.
Okay.
I'm not allowed to say not today.
Thanks for putting words in my mouth.
I'm not your sex spending machine.
When have I ever... I have never done anything without your consent.
And tonight I don't feel like consenting.
Okay.
You're upset.
I'm not upset.
Sorry I made a dent in your plans.
There was work I could have stayed in for.
Sorry the pussy store is closed.
Can it be that maybe I just wanted to spend time with you?
Isn't that what we're doing? What's the problem?
There isn't one. Is there any food?
Now I'm supposed to cook for you?
Or we could order out.
Great.
Any new updates on Shishmita?
Just got the latest.
And?
Turns out she was trafficked.
Shit.
Yeah.
How? By who?
Some wealthy guy in another village. Her father sold her. Sold his own daughter to be a slave, essentially. I mean, what the... She's 7. How the fuck does that happen today, in the 21st century?
That's messed up.
It's weird because I know this stuff happens. I was a canvasser. I used to talk about it every day. But when it's your kid, the kid you're sponsoring...
How was her dad even able to do it with her being in the program?
He made some kind of secret deal. Tricked her, snuck her out, said he wanted to send her away to school.
Oh, that's awful.
And I was on the phone with them for an hour.
In Nepal?
They said they're doing everything they can.
Okay.
I just wish there was something I could do.
Like what?
I don't know. Call someone? An embassy? The government?
And then they're just going to turn over every rock and stone for one village in village girl in Nepal?
Maybe I could try Amnesty International. Shit, I need to renew my membership.
What would they do?
Start a letter-writing campaign?
A letter-writing campaign.
They freed 44,000 political prisoners.
Political prisoners. Not some village girl. There's nothing you can do unless you want to go there and star in Taken 4.
I guess.
So I guess life has totally come to a halt tonight.
Sorry, I don't feel like play-acting sexual slavery with this stuff happening in the world.
But you have been play-acting sexual slavery with this stuff happening in the world.
Yeah, but...
You buy cheap shit from Chinatown. You bitch when they hike up MetroCard prices.
I'm poor.
But you're not. Comparatively... You're rich. You just choose to ignore the child labor that paid for your cheap Chinatown shit because it's convenient. So don't go feeling bad about what we're doing here.
So you can just put all of this stuff out of your mind all the time?
I can't worry about things I can't control.
That's defeatist.
Is it?
One person can make a difference.
How so? However many reusable bags you bring to Trader Joe's, you'll never make a dent in the carbon footprint they're making with megacities like Dubai.
If they're really serious about being competitive...
Why would they care? Why should they care? You give money to this kind of thing to give them the ability to grow up and exploit others. That's power.
You're wrong.
Am I? This country. All of these great civilizations were built on slavery, exploitation, oppression, tyranny. All of them. That's why none of these nations that we throw money at have any hope of getting better and competing with us. We don't let them. We want to think of them all as noble, enlightened savages. You know who has actually used nuclear weapons? America. Well, why shouldn't someone drop a bomb? Why shouldn't we let something bad happen?
I can't listen to this.
By giving money, you're doing more than most people. You're thinking about it more than most people. We're all fucking hypocrites. But instead of doing absolutely nothing, you were doing something.
Who are you?
What do you mean?
I don't recognize this person.
Who do you think I am? You think I'm just this safe, wimpy Indian nerd? You think dating me is assuaging your liberal guilt?
Racist if you do, racist if you don't.
Oh, life is so hard.
What are we even... I knew it. I knew all of this stuff.
What stuff?
She takes out the box containing the handcuffs, dog collar, leash, and other paraphernalia and dumps it all on the floor.
This weird sex stuff. I knew it was going to make things shitty.
Because I totally forced it on
you. You started it. We were doing fine. You gave me that gift and opened up this giant Pandora's box of emotional fucking shit.
What was I supposed to do when I saw that website?
Ignore it.
Ignore the fact that my girlfriend didn't find me attractive?
That's not at all
the... Why wouldn't you want to let me be in there with you?
Why should I have to? Aren't I entitled to keep something, one stupid little kinky something? Why do I have to share every part of my...
Because that's what love is.
Right.
You do love me.
I like you, but...
But I'm not a real man. The kind of asshole who you can make yourself a slave to, who will take charge and still read you poetry, very Ayn Rand.
Fuck you.
You never thought of me as that kind of guy.
Were you my ideal? No.
If you find me so repulsive, why did you even bother to talk to me?
Because we met when I was working. I wanted to be nice.
Oh, by being a two-faced bitch. Couldn't let the canvasser mask slip and be an actual person.
And you thought you were being cute by wasting my time flirting while I was trying to do my job.
Screw you.
Where are you going? Hey!
She pins him to the wall.
Thanks for stopping. My name is Natasha, and I am a fundraiser for...
Yeah, I get it.
He tries to move, and she grabs the leash and wraps it around his neck.
I said, I am a fundraiser working on behalf of World Children International. For nearly a century, the International World Children's Fund has been providing crucial help to children in over 50 countries. Through our work, those children's communities are able to grow, develop, and eventually sustain themselves. And you know one of the best ways we do that? Educating girls. Girls like Sushmita here. Sushmita is from Nepal. You know where Nepal is?
Yes, of course I fucking know where Nepal is.
It was a fucking rhetorical question.
She gags him.
In places like Nepal, we're building bathrooms. Why? Because in Nepal, most girls drop out of school when they start menstruating because there aren't separate bathrooms or tampons. And boys harass them when they have to stuff their vaginas with rags in the middle of class. So they drop out of school and get married off by 15 because they have no other skills to contribute to society. 15. When I was 15, I was still having my mom drop me off at Claire's so I could look through cheap costume jewelry and drink sugary coffee slushies. Not getting married. And those are the lucky ones. The unlucky ones. The unlucky ones like Sushmita are trafficked by parents, by family members, into God knows what kinds of situations. Because a couple of bucks was all they thought these girls were worth. And if building a fucking bathroom could give one Sushmita the opportunity to show her potential, that's what we're doing here. That's what you can do. Sound good? What's that?
Ankit struggles with the gag. She removes it.
You're fucking insane.
She gags him again.
You didn't stop because you care. You stopped because I'm hot. You stopped because you saw some hot girl and you knew this was the best shot you had at getting a girl out of your league to talk to you. You bet on the fact that my liberal guilt would prevent me from outright rejecting your Indian ass because I wouldn't want you to think I was a racist.
Marcy bursts in.
Tasha, I'm sorry I got upset, but I want you to know this is really hard.
She sees them.
What the?
Marcy.
You know what? I can't. I just can't.
Marcy exits. Natasha and Ankit look at each other. Scene 9. Sometime later, another apartment. Unlike Natasha and Marcy's bohemian abode, this one has the pristine elegance of an Ethan Allen catalog spread. It is clear an actual adult lives here. Ankit holds Jasmine's hands in his.
These past few months, I can't even... I mean, having you back into my life at the exact moment when things were looking... It meant so much. It means so much to have someone who knows you, you know? Like, you don't have to explain things to, and won't have to worry, will freak out if they find out.
Are you trying to tell me you've become some kind of international crime lord?
You're making fun of me.
I'm not.
Like, it would be so unbelievable.
Yes. You were such a badass when Ravi Patel pushed you off the monkey bars during recess, and you cried so hard you peed yourself.
The point is, I love having someone around who can remember that. My crowning moment. It's like a part of me has come back.
He takes out a box.
And I don't want to lose it again.
Wow. He gets down on one knee.
Jasmine Atkinson, will you fulfill the childhood fantasy I've had since fourth grade and marry me?
Oh my God.
If this is too fast, or if the stuff about crushing on you since we were like 10 creeped you out.
Oh my god. This
is too much. I miss Jasmine. I know you just moved back to town and I don't want to rush.
Yes.
Yes?
Of course.
Oh, thank goodness.
Are you okay?
Oh, I'm great. I'm fucking amazing. I'm just, I'm relieved.
What did you think I would do?
I don't know. Sometimes when you put yourself, when you take a risk, you don't always know.
How's this for ambiguity?
She kisses him.
I don't know. Could you make your intentions a bit clearer?
She kisses him again.
This is real. Is this real?
She pinches him.
Ow!
I guess it is.
He starts caressing her.
Now, I was thinking. Friday, you want to come over and tell Mom?
You really think this is the appropriate moment to bring her up?
Yeah, it was on my mind. I know your shifts at the hospital can get crazy. I just don't want to wait too long.
Your mom loves me. She'll just be happy to finally have an Indian doctor in the family. Even if West Indian is the closest she's likely to get.
Ankit kisses her.
Okay. No more talk about my mother.
Now he says it.
He kneels. He tenderly caresses her body and slowly begins to go down on her.
Oh, Mowgli.
He stops cold.
What did you say?
Huh?
Mowgli. You call me Mowgli?
You know, like the Jungle Book.
Yeah, I know where it's from.
You okay?
I'm fine.
Sure?
They continue to kiss. She starts undoing his belt.
So where did you get it?
What?
That name. Why did you call me Mowgli?
Who cares?
She reaches inside his pants. He stops her.
You're really upset about this.
I'm not upset.
You're upset that I think you're a sexy man of the jungle?
Then call me Tarzan.
If that's what you want.
You just thought of it yourself.
What does it matter?
It does to me. There's something you're not telling me.
It's stupid.
Okay, then I'll make fun of you.
Jasmine takes out her laptop and opens it up.
There's this website.
All right.
An intern showed it to me.
It's a sex blog.
I thought it was going to be stupid. Just some whiny white girl whining about her white girl problems.
Seems to be an apt description.
But it's actually really funny. I mean, some of the shit she and her boyfriend get into is some seriously weird stuff.
and he's Mowgli?
That's what she calls him in one of their little games.
You don't think that's a little messed up? A white girl calling her Indian boyfriend that name of some jungle savage kid?
I mean, yeah. She actually gets into that. She really doesn't let anyone off the hook. I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, it's fine.
But I'm glad we're talking about it. I mean, these are things we're going to have to learn about each other.
Yeah.
Here, why don't you read it?
Weirdly, it was actually Mowgli who came up with the Jungle Book game. Because we were apparently huge fucking nerds. At the time, I didn't know he had been a sponsor child himself. But then when he told me, it completely shifted things. Became our way to not have to talk directly about our problems. Instead of going into detail about his past of poverty, He would grab me, tie me up, and fuck me while threatening to feed me to Shere Khan. He took a kind of bloodthirsty relish as he savaged me. Like somehow he was taking revenge on all of the white girls who stereotyped him as a nerd or office assistants who overestimated his computer abilities.
Interesting, right? Natasha appears.
And I got off on it. I got off on the way he would grab my breasts and talk about the way Shere Khan's teeth would rip through my flesh, and how Baloo would tear through my ass with his bare penis.
I don't know if I'm comfortable.
You're right, I'm sorry. Sex is a weird thing. The things we think we are attracted to, polite society teaches us to compartmentalize it from the presentable parts of our lives, but it keeps invading. Why can't we just be the people and relationships that we want to be? Why can't our partners let us be the best versions of ourselves?
This is so embarrassing.
What if they think you're a freak? Or worse, simply lame. And then you break up, and then not only do you not have the relationship, you can't even get off on your fetishes because they're not sexy anymore. Then you're just some sad person touching yourself during pet food commercials or This American Life. And how the fuck is that fair?
You were being so sweet, so vulnerable just now, and I...
And what will these revelations reveal in others?
Marcy enters in full canvasser gear.
I told you to save 3 babies by the end of the day, or I'm putting you back on action plan.
By breaching that line of innocence, what forces will you unleash into the universe?
Oh, they said not today? You know what kinds of charities accept not today? Pussies.
Because relationships, sex, it's not just about fucking.
You think anyone wants to give to a charity that's a pussy?
It's about power.
What are you gonna do? Cry?
It's about fear.
You think if you cry, they're going to give because they feel sorry for you?
It's about forcing yourself to be present enough to the possibility of utter annihilation.
I can understand if all of this freaks you out. You're probably thinking, what the hell did I just get myself into, and how quickly can I get away from this insane person this woman has become?
Just...
Unkit puts his hand up to quiet her. He looks straight into Jasmine's eyes.
You think I'm afraid, Shere Khan?
It would be foolish for you not to be, man cub. Everyone in the jungle runs from Shere Khan.
But mostly...
You want those big Wall Street dicks to cough up their credit cards to sponsor your kids? You've got to swing yours harder than they do.
Mostly it's just weird.
I'd like to see you try and catch me, Tiger.
Beautifully, terrifyingly.
Feel it. Stroke it. Own it.
Jasmine growls. And runs her nails, claw-like, over Unkit's chest.
I'm going to tear you limb from limb, man cub.
Blissfully weird.
End of play.
Thank you for joining us for Sex and Charitable Giving by Lisa Huberman. We'd like to thank the cast, the audience, and especially The Tank, an incubator for emerging artists in New York City, for their generous donation of space. You can learn more about The Tank at thetanknyc.org. And if you'd like to support Elephant Run District, our podcast, and the rest of our exciting programming, please donate at elephantrundistrict.org. It's through generous donations like yours that we can keep bringing you the most exciting, independent, and newly developed plays. We hope you return for next month's play, Berta Berta, by Angelica Cherie. Thanks for listening. Until next time. Go.